Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Good evening, listeners, brave navigators of the enigmatic and the concealed. Have you ever felt the pull of the unanswered, the allure of the mysteries that shroud our existence? For more than a decade, a unique comic publisher has dared to dive into these mysteries, unafraid of the secrets they might uncover. This audacious entity is Paranoid American. Welcome to the mystifying universe of the Paranoid American podcast.
Launched in the year 2012, Paranoid American has been on a mission to decipher the encrypted secrets of our world. From the unnerving enigma of MKUltra mind control to the clandestine assemblies of secret societies. From the awe-inspiring frontiers of forbidden technology to the arcane patterns of occult symbols in our very own pop culture. They have committed to unveiling the concealed realities that lie just beneath the surface. Join us as we navigate these intricate landscapes, decoding the hidden scripts of our society and challenging the accepted perceptions of reality.
Folks, I've got a big problem on my hands. There's a company called Paranoid American making all these funny memes and comics. Now, I'm a fair guy. I believe in free speech, as long as it doesn't cross the line. And if these AI-generated memes dare to make fun of me, they're crossing the line.
This is your expedition into the realm of the extraordinary, the secret, the shrouded. Come with us as we sift through the world's grand mysteries, question the standardized narratives, and brave the cryptic labyrinth of the concealed truth. So strap yourselves in, broaden your horizons, and steel yourselves for a voyage into the enigmatic heart of the Paranoid American podcast, where each story, every image, every revelation brings us one step closer to the elusive truth.
Paranoid American podcast, and today we are going international. I just want to say that this is the first Canadian that I've knowingly had on the show. It took me a little while. I'm going to get into why it took me so long, but I'm glad that, as far as I know, Tayana is going to be our first Canadian guest. So welcome to Paranoid American. This isn't Paranoid Canada yet. American Paranoid American podcast. And tell people where they can find you. We'll do all the plugs up front.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm Tayana, Truthseeker 01011. I know I've got Artemis News Media on there because that's my handle on YouTube. And I am definitely a paranoid Canadian. And we have every right to be paranoid up here because the government just puts it all in our face of what they're going to do to us. They don't even lie anymore because they just stopped caring about lying to us. So, but I'm definitely glad to be on your show. I enjoy watching all your stuff. And I think this is going to be amazing.
I appreciate you. And I guess I'll just spill the beans now that the main reason that I haven't had Canadians on yet, I'm not sure Canada exists. And the last few times that I've brought this up, it seems to be offensive to Canadians, which actually just A, makes me want to dig in deeper. But then it's like, why are you getting so offended by this unless it rings true somehow? So have you ever even heard of this concept that Canada isn't real?
You know, I have. I have heard of the conspiracy that Canada isn't real and that we're just a bunch of yokel, like, weirdos on online saying that, you know, we are Canadian when we're not. But I think it's mostly because a lot of people are proud of Canada, but we are extremely ashamed of our government. And we've always been kind of like your quiet neighbors up north, like the little brother who's trying to like copy everything that the cool guys do, which is what we consider the U.S. is like the cool guys. And but we try and put a little twist on it ourselves just to give ourselves like the identity. But I think it just comes out of being proud to be Canadian, but at the same time being ashamed of everything that's happening on the international stage with Canada and how Justin Trudeau has presented us as being a bunch of pretty much dummies. And I think that's what it is. But I have heard of that. I don't take offense on it, though. I think it's hilarious.
Well, and you're winning me over. I do. I feel like I'm warming up to you already because you did admit that America is like the cooler older brother and Canada's kind of like the lamer, whatever the hell, like, you know, non-binary thing that kind of like hangs out. Like the Milhouse. You're like the Milhouse of the Simpsons and we're the Bart, right?
Yeah, we're like the Milhouse. We like to do things our way, but then we've got hockey that we're super proud of. And then we kind of kick butt in that. And I think that's kind of been our personality wise is just hockey because we're really good at it. And we don't really have a military power. We don't have any international say. The only reason why we're on the international stage right now is because we have clowns running the country. But we definitely do consider Americans the cool guys, even if they don't admit it. Some Canadians won't admit it. You guys are definitely like our cooler brothers.
Maybe not the French Canadians. They'll never admit to anything cool.
Oh, they won't even admit they're real Canadians. They're like, yeah. We're French Canadians. So like, we'll totally agree with that. Like the rest of English Canada will agree with that.
There is one aspect of Canada that me as a complete outsider bump, like I only know about Canada through the fake Canada news and stuff, right? Like I'm not convinced it's real, but let's presume that it is real. One of the cool things that Canada has done was the freaking truck driver strikes. And like just clogging up the arteries of the major metropolitan areas in order to kind of put a little bit of pressure on a Trudeau, I think, to the point where it worked so well that they were trying to like arrest and track these people down, almost like it was the Canadian January 6th in a way. Like no one stormed a building necessarily, but it was almost phrased. And to me, that was pretty badass. That almost feels like something I haven't seen portrayed on that scale in America. Like I don't even know if America could do something of that scale the way that Canada did. So first of all, pat yourself on the back for being part of that, because I know that you were one of the main ringleaders. Shout out Trudeau, here she is, get her. But like is that repeatable, or do you think that they've nipped that in the bud? Have they found a way to suppress that if it were to happen again, or is that like an ace in the hole?
They can suppress it again, because what happened with the trucker protests, I actually wasn't one of the ringleaders. I was the main one online pushing information for the truckers and trying to get.
You're saying that for legal reasons, but that's fine. Go ahead.
No, I'm literally not saying it for legal reasons. I wish I could like take.
She definitely was not involved. Definitely.
No, I was honestly literally at work. I was so far away because I couldn't get days off. And I was trying to just basically leave site, but they would have had to shut it down because of my position on site. So I was definitely just online, and it wasn't for legal purposes. I would have had my bank account frozen. So basically what the government did is there was absolutely no violence. There was nothing. It was so well organized from coast to coast. And as you know, Canada is about 5,000 kilometers from coast to coast, which is huge.
We don't do kilometers. That's so weird. Yeah. How many miles? You're on an American podcast. Let's talk about it's American. Like
12,000 miles, I think, in length. I think that's what miles is. I'm going to have to like calculate that.
It's a made up metric anyways. It's a made up metric for made up country.
1.6 miles per kilometer. I think that's what it is. So about 10,000 miles. And we managed to go all the way from coast to coast to meet in the capital, where basically Justin Trudeau didn't want to talk to anyone. And after 3 weeks of actually standing our ground, because we were locked down for 2 years, you guys only had one lockdown of 3 months. We were locked down for straight 2 years. And so people finally had enough, and the truckers took to Ottawa, and they had a huge support. And what happened was the Canadian government broke the law, pulled the Emergencies Act, which is the War Act, and then basically got into everybody's bank's accounts and completely shut down their bank's accounts. People couldn't buy food. People couldn't pay their mortgage. They couldn't get medicines. And then what happened, the people who were trying to help them by buying medicine and food, they got their bank's account closed down. So that was taken to the federal court, and the federal court ruled that basically Justin Trudeau and Chrystia Freeland broke all ethical laws by pulling that on there. And so now there's a huge investigation. We've got citizens investigations going on as well because of the vaccine and how much that was pushed. And I think the government realized that Canadians, even though we're nice and we're very meek and, you know, we like to do things in a legal way, that once pushed too far, that we will stand together as Canadians, no matter how much they try and divide us.
If the front lines are left up to the Canadians, let's say America just is too much of a mess to figure it out or too much infighting, are we screwed, or can we rely on Canada to pull us out of this mess? Like, can Canada defeat the globalists by themselves?
Well, right now we are defeating the globalists by ourselves because we've been completely taken over by the WEF, and we have so many groups on the grounds, boots on the grounds, fighting every single category that is being thrown at us. And it is almost a full-time job trying to watch our local politicians and the UN come in and basically stick UN policies over our own constitution, which they're trying to change and eradicate as well. So you can probably bet on Canada if you told us, like, just give us beer, get us drunk and tell us like our hockey sucks, and dude, we'll be there.
A little poutine on the side. That's the only other real poutine, contribution. Yeah. Does Canada care about, and then you're just going to speak on behalf of the entire country at this point, just so you know, but Canada and Canadians, they care about the royal family at all?
Half of Canada doesn't give a crap, and we actually don't want them. We want to be a republic, and the other half don't have brain cells, and they like the royal family. So it's definitely divided on that, and it's mostly boomers who like the royal family. The rest of us can give a shit. They're on our money, and to be honest, we even kicked out Harry. That's why you guys got Harry and Meghan. They tried living in Vancouver first, and they said, this sucks, and then moved to California because we wouldn't pay for their bullshit that they wanted here.
Actually, that was my very next question, because I didn't realize that they tried out Canada first. Like, I was actually wondering, why didn't they go to the other country that they literally own and not like the one under it? So would they go to Vancouver? What did they want that Vancouver wasn't going to fit the bill for?
Oh, they wanted us to pay for their security, extra security. And then because we also are very, I should say, dislocated from Hollywood in the sense of way that we're Canadian. Meghan Markle, or whatever her, is her last name Markle or Meghan,
yeah,
whatever.
Markle. Meghan Markle. Markle,
yeah, her. She wasn't getting the attention from press media that she wanted because no one gave a shit about her in Vancouver. So she wasn't getting the paparazzi that she needed, and we wouldn't pay like taxes to them on anything. We told them to fit their own bill, and they pretty much lasted about 3 months and then moved to LA.
I mean, did you never see her role in Suits? Like, she was phenomenal.
See, we didn't hear anything about it. Somebody said on the news that Harry and Meghan are moving to Vancouver, and then the news media got attacked by everybody because we said that we're all broke and don't give a shit about the royal family. And then they said that they wanted security, so the people pretty much told them to go eat shit. And they did. They left for LA, and they haven't been back since. And to be honest, we're kind of happy about that because we're dealing enough with what his grandma has put on this country and all the treaties and how they stole land from the native population here in Canada. So they're definitely not welcome.
You're starting to lose points now again, because I don't think we want the royals. And like, you sound a little bit too happy about pawning them off on us. So that's not something you do to your cooler older brother.
Hey, we gotta take some points, you know what I mean? Like, we're not the cool guys. We don't have like Hollywood. We don't have anything cool and popular. We're very desolate and it's cold. So if we can get rid of one problem, you know what I mean, at least the paparazzis are making money off of Meghan and Harry down there. So there's that. That's a bonus.
Is there any part of the culture wars that Canada could win at some point? Like, maybe out of politeness, but like, I don't know. I don't feel like there's anything that Canada's done to impress us over the last couple decades. Like, you pumped out Jim Carrey and Mike Myers and that was it. Like, what else is coming out of there? What are your top exports that are benefiting the states outside of maybe having a little fortitude with the truckers?
Oil and gas. So we have the second largest oil and gas reserve in the world, and we actually ship it to you guys where you sell it back to us at a much more expensive rate because you have the refineries and we don't.
I mean, I drive a Tesla and I eat algae, so that doesn't really affect me. That's not very impressive to me. So.
You drive a Tesla?
And I drink algae exclusively.
And you drink algae? Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most sort of like bioavailable substance that doesn't hurt anybody. Like, no one has to die over me drinking algae.
Jeez, am I on a vegan podcast or are we on a conspiracy podcast? No, I'm just joking. I guess, yeah, we've got oil and gas and we've got a lot of wood that we also, for your home building, that we also get sold back from.
But this is a culture war. I want to know, like, what kind of things are you doing to help your culture war?
Oh, yeah, literally nothing.
Yeah,
nothing. Well, we're just kind of existing in our own little meek, non-existent country up here.
And this is one of the primary Canada isn't real arguments, is that Canada lacks any sort of identifying culture. Even the accent sounds like something that was like fabricated in a laboratory. It sounds like it's an accent of somewhere, but you can't quite pin it down. It doesn't seem to have any roots. It's almost like someone designed the accent on paper and never really tried it out. And now here we've got Canadians sounding all weird. Do you hear yourself when you talk?
No, I don't hear that I have an accent, but I've been told I sound like I'm from Minnesota. So maybe we stole it from you guys.
Which I think is like Germanic in nature. I think we're talking like German. And it's like, oh, don't you know?
Don't you know? Yeah. See, Minnesotans sound exactly the same. So maybe we were made in the same lab for the accent.
Maybe you're just in Minnesota and you just don't realize it. And all the Canadian programming is that. Anyway, so I don't want to beat that too. I don't want to offend too many of the Canadian watchers out there. If you're here, you shouldn't be watching this, though. This is an American podcast. This is not for Canadians. And this is a one-time special occasion that we've had a Canadian on here. Is there any reason that an American should ever visit Canada?
Honestly, the natural beauty is absolutely like none other. And I mean untouched natural beauty, where you can drive for hours upon hours without even seeing a town or a person. That is the one thing that Canada does have, is the vast openness and a lot of cool things to see if you're into nature.
So the best part about Canada is that you can go deep enough that you won't actually have to see any Canadians at a certain point.
Yeah, pretty much. That's basically the bonus of Northern Canada.
Okay, you're kind of selling it a little bit. What's the, like jokes aside, because jokes are fun and jokes are funny and we'll do more jokes, but I want to know, like, 100% serious, what is the likelihood that Justin Trudeau is actually related to Fidel Castro? Is this just 100%. A funny internet meme?
No, it's 100%. Like, you should see, his brother does not look anything like him, and his dad does not look anything like Justin Trudeau. And if you actually put the pictures together, he is Castro's son, because we know that his mom went and visited Castro 9 months prior to Justin Trudeau arriving to this planet and blessing us with his absolute stupidity.
So what's the plan? Like, is this Cuba? Is this Russia making a move on the North American continent? Is this just like the way the globalists work? Is it just that his mom banged a famous person and people like famous people, so they put him in charge? Like, what's the reason for Justin Trudeau being Fidel Castro's kin and then running Canada of all places?
Oh, okay. So basically, his dad was a prime minister in the 80s. And the only reason why Justin Trudeau basically became prime minister was riding on the coattails of his dad. But if you research his mom, which is Margaret Trudeau, she's actually a complete whore. And she screwed the entire Rolling Stones cast. And they openly said that. There's also a picture of her on Rolling Stones cover magazine with her hoo-ha completely out in the world. And the reason why he's here is because he is the World Economic Forum lapdog, and China runs the World Economic Forum. So basically, it's a takeover, slow economical takeover by China to Canada.
Who ruined that? Because I would think that a groupie that's banging all the Rolling Stones and having the time of her life, how does that turn into some like weird drama nerd that wants to shut trucks down? Like, I would expect that dude to be cool. Like,
yeah,
you should have been American.
Exactly, right? Like he should have, but something along the way went demented, and we're pretty sure that he's part of the elites because his dad was part of Club of Rome. So the entire family is very, very deep into the entire 13 families and the secret societies, and he's pretty much been trained as a young child as to us being peasants and plebs and that we deserve whatever we are given. He even said that before he got elected that he admires Chinese dictatorship. So
did he do that one all dressed up in like yellow face and he was doing like the eyes and stuff? Is that that one?
Oh, it's actually, he wore blackface. He never wore yellow face. He wore blackface multiple times, and somehow people have forgiven him for that absolute racist display of disgust, to be honest.
Well, he did it in the 90s, right? And that didn't really count in the 90s. Just like Jimmy Kimmel and just like Sarah Silverman. If he did it in the 90s, it doesn't count. Just yeah, like there's 90s gay and there's 2020 gay and they're different types of gay.
Yeah, that you know what? That's an excuse that the woke use. But if these same circumstances were against like a Republican or somebody conservative, everything that they've done in the 90s would absolutely count as 2024 kind of system the same way.
Are there any Canadian specific secret societies that we might not know about? Is there like a secret Canadian Mason branch that's like different than regular American Masons?
No, we're actually exactly the same, but we do have a lot of Freemason branches in Canada as well. But we don't have any specific secret societies that come out of Canada because we are owned by the British Royals. And so anything that has been implemented there gets implemented here on a much kind of like softer scale to run what they're running.
What about like Skull and Bones and like porcelain clubs and stuff? Or do those not exist? Does the Greek system not exist in academia in Canada?
No, we do not have
it at all.
Nope, we don't have any Greek systems in any of our universities, except for UBC. But they have really died down, and it's not really a Greek system. It's just trying to copy the American party ways, but we don't have houses. Maybe there's like one house, and that's at University of British Columbia. The rest of the universities, we don't have Greek lives. We don't have anything that kind of does the whole sisterhood, brotherhood kind of thing. That doesn't exist in our universities. It's very academic focused towards just academia.
This is maybe why no one thinks you guys are real. Like that's part of like a huge backbone of building a persistent culture is having secret societies. So no Canadian specific secret societies that have made themselves aware to you, at least. Like, well, maybe, at least, are Canadians just better at being secret societies?
Well, we are better at doing things in a much kind of softer and undercover way, but I have not discovered any Canadian specific secret societies. I know we have branches of American societies in Canada, but not our own specific in any way.
Are you a cop?
No, why?
Would you have to tell me? Because I know in America, you'd have to tell me. But if you're Canadian, would you have to tell? Can you even arrest me as a Canadian cop?
Wouldn't that be like out of my jurisdiction or out of?
You tell me, you're the cop. I don't know.
Where did the I'm a cop come from?
I'm just making sure. I was supposed to ask that earlier on.
Okay. No, I just have a very high IQ and can answer questions very quickly. So that kind
you're
of
definitely not a cool. cop. They actually look down upon that when they're weeding people out. That's actually a true thing.
Yeah. So I can show you my Mensa score, and I definitely score way above their actual thing because you're not allowed to go over 105 IQ to be a police officer. And I don't make the weight limit, considering my height, to be even in the military. So.
Yeah, you were showing me before. You're actually 7'4", which is, aren't you one of the tallest Canadians on record right now? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, Guinness World Book of Records. I swear, they're like, look at this 7'4". Might be, with Sasquatch. Might be related to Sasquatch. And my dog has decided to join the podcast. So.
So by the scale we were just talking about, that dog is, I'm guessing, around like 9 feet tall based on the size of his head compared to your
Yeah, she's about 11 feet tall and super, super huge. And that's my guard dog.
Do you believe in Sasquatch or Bigfoot?
We've had actually sightings in the area that I'm in with guys.
You mean you or you just mean like your area?
in my area, sorry. In my area, there has been actual sightings of some sort of creature that's much, much bigger and also was caught on camera throwing logs at basically, I guess, the workers that were in the area, and they didn't know what it was. So everybody said that it was Sasquatch. And we do have a lot of groups that come from Washington and research around here in the area because of the vast amount of sightings.
There's video footage of a large creature throwing logs?
Yeah, at workers, at oil field workers. It was a pipeline job, and basically it threw a giant log right at the workers, and there's camera of it. If you Google it, it's still on YouTube. It's all over the internet.
Do you think Bigfoot's working for the WEF? Like, he's trying to shut down like self-reliance on fossil fuels?
You know what? Anything's possible. I've heard a lot of theories about Bigfoot either being an extraterrestrial or an interdimensional being, but I've never really gone in depth into the entire kind of story of Bigfoot. So who knows? It might be just really good at hiding and seek and hates human beings and is a hermit.
I mean, going by what you've been telling me, if Bigfoot was even slightly intelligent and he wanted to stay away from people, they would migrate to Canada, because there's probably a greater chance you could exist in the wilderness of Canada undetected versus almost anywhere else in the States that I'm aware of.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have so much untouched land and so much vast openness to the point where it's almost impossible to get to. We have areas and towns where you can only travel during the winter because of ice roads. And then after that, the waters are too choppy for boats or anything. So you have to either helicopter or fly in and fly out. So we're pretty remote up here.
I'm just thinking of like remote Canadian hicks. Do you guys have like a David Koresh or like a Randy Weaver story anywhere, like a Timothy McVeigh? Are there any Canadian extremists that took it to the logical conclusion that you know of?
Oh, so we had a guy up here and he was a cult-like member of, he made a cult, and he basically hated oil patch workers. And on Highway 40 by Grand Prairie, he used to shoot at oil patch trucks. And he used to sabotage pipelines, and they actually caught him, and he's in jail. And then he got out and something happened to him, but his kid is still running the cult. And like the RCMP and the police are very well aware of them. They live in the woods completely off grid and are just a little untouched. And then we had the Picton farmer in BC who killed a bunch of women over, I don't know, 15 year span, and fed them to his pigs and basically sold the pigs to the residents of that area because he owned a pig farm on a mass scale. So those are the only two that I can remember at the top of my head.
Do you know when he sold those pigs? Were those pigs sold to be butchered?
Yep. Butchered.
So people ended up eating the pigs that ate the people?
Yep. And how it came about was basically a random lab test showed that there were human remains within the pigs. And then all of his pigs were tested. And that's how he actually got caught, that he was a mass murderer.
Do you think that would be better or worse than eating GMO fed pigs?
I think way worse. I mean, you're eating human flesh. You know what I mean? GMO can mean different things. It's just genetically modified.
What if the people were all organic, though?
I think all humans are organic just to begin with. I still think it's absolutely horrendous to eat human flesh in any sense of the way.
What about pigs? You okay with eating pigs?
I'm not really a huge fan of pork, but I'll eat bacon sometimes.
Is this because of your Muslim upbringing?
No, I'm Orthodox Christian. I'm Serbian.
Are you sure? Are you not like a crypto Muslim?
No, definitely not.
So what do you eat on Christmas if it's not a ham?
Oh, no, I said I eat like pork sometimes, just not on a large scale, just because it doesn't agree on with my stomach. So I've had ham for Christmas.
All right, off the hook. You're off the hook. We thought you might have been one of them for a second here.
No, I openly talk about my religion online and where I'm from.
What kind of out of the 40,000 flavors of Christianity, you said you're Orthodox, what?
Eastern Orthodox Christian.
Okay. At what point are you going to find your true path to Roman Catholicism?
Probably never. I have read all of the books and I am happy with the religion that I am, but I also respect everybody else for the religion that they have.
What made Roman Catholicism a no-go for you? Like what did they lose you at a certain point? Did they just not have as much to offer as Orthodox?
I was born into Orthodoxy and I just chose to stick with that religion.
Okay. Convenience over. Okay. Instead of being accurate, you just want to go with convenience. That's fine. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can all agree to disagree on certain points of religion. That's what I do on my channel. And we just question things and we kind of go back and forth. I don't think I'm right. I don't think anyone else is more right. I think it's just everybody has their own individual path.
Do you think talking snakes ever existed?
I think that was more a metaphorical thing that was being said in the Bible. I don't think there are any talking snakes unless you've had a lot of mushrooms and hallucinogenics or, you know, whatever mushrooms, acid, then maybe people have seen talking snakes, but I don't think in reality, I think no one's heard of a talking
snake. What do you think about that? About like, would you consider it heretical that Jesus was a mushroom, that, you know, the body of Christ, well, I guess this is a Catholic thing, but like the body of Christ was a mushroom, the blood of Christ is mushroom juice, that it's all mushrooms all the way down. Is that underselling it? Is it heretical? Is that just like simple-minded?
I don't think I've ever heard of that. I've heard that it's the bread, like the Christ of bread or body of bread, but I've never heard of mushrooms. But I'm pretty sure everything can be interpreted in a metaphorical way, especially if you read between the lines.
Well, I just take this as a very strong suggestion to at least look into. I think the book was called Sacred Mushroom and the Cross by John Allegro, and he contends that all of this ancient Christian symbolism ultimately was based on soma, or the Amanita muscaria mushroom in particular, and that one of the ones that he gives, it fits more into Roman Catholicism again, because they're the weirdos that believe in all the stuff, but that the Amanita muscaria, it has this red cap, and when it's rained on and it sits in the sun overnight, or over the course of a day, the rainwater will accumulate in the cap and it will uprise and it turns a golden color, and the rainwater absorbs the red pigment off the top of the mushroom cap so that it looks like this golden chalice, this holy grail filled with blood. And if you drink that blood, you start tripping out and you can see God and you can talk to God. And that, like, all the outfits of the popes always kind of reflected this Amanita type look with the little veil and the little skirt, all kind of represents this mushroom. But that at some point they were trying to prevent all the poor people from taking all the mushrooms for themselves, that they hid it so well that they hid it from themselves, and 1,000 years goes by and no one remembers that they were actually all worshiping the mushroom and they just named it after a guy. That's the sacred mushroom in the cross theory, as I understand it.
That's interesting. I've never heard of that, but I'm definitely going to look into that, because that actually sounds very interesting, especially when you said like the cloak, especially with the Pope cloak and all of that, being in the same shape. I'm going to look into that. That sounds
well. There's so many, the Eucharist and the cap of the mushroom, the way that it gets broken up into pieces and serving like my body and the bread, like all, and even bread, after, if you use the right sort of rye and it develops ergot on it, that can also synthesize into like an LSD or an LSA analog. So there's just interesting, compelling things that suggest that some of those origins of Christianity. But anyways, that's my particular denomination of the 40,000. I like to believe that Jesus was a mushroom and that all this stuff was a mushroom. But I'm curious. So you said in Orthodox that the talking snake was maybe like metaphorical, and I'm still learning this weird world. And I always assumed Orthodox meant you believe the most stuff literally from the Bible. Like if it says begat begat, or if it says eye for an eye, like someone actually poked another person in the eye and it wasn't metaphorical. If they say that they talked to a snake, there was a really snake that was really talking. So like, do you have in your mind where the line is between, oh, that can be interpreted as metaphorical versus, oh, that really means this thing? Like, you know, I don't know if is there anything literal that seems supernatural that you can think of in the Bible that's not metaphorical, like Noah's Ark?
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
No, actually, Noah's Ark, there is proof that it was, it did exist. And the flood also existed, especially with the mud flood. Orthodox Christianity, Orthodox just means, like if you were to translate it into Serbian, it means Pravoslava, which means the right one. So it's the original Christianity in which Catholicism and all the rest of the denominations actually came from. So Orthodoxy is basically just the original writings, and it's basically interpreted the exact same way. It's just a lot more simplified, and we do have a lot more, I should say, pagan aspects of things that we don't see as pagan, and that aren't painted in a much darker light the way they are in Catholic, like in Roman Catholic sections of basically the denominations, I guess. That's the only difference. It's not about how it's interpreted. Everybody can interpret the Bible in their own way, on in their own scale.
What's the most pagan sounding aspect that you could think of?
So we have a lot of holidays where like we actually celebrate the summer solstice. So for example, this year, our Easter is usually a week after your guys's Easter, except this year it's May 5th and it's due to planetary alignment. So things like that. Whereas astrological aspects in the Catholic version is not allowed because it's seen as evil, whereas the Orthodox Christians will actually incorporate that into their religious belief.
That is interesting because, yeah, that is looked down upon in the Catholic Church of like reading stars or reading runes. It's like, no, that's what we're here for. Like you need to come to the priest and we'll sort all that stuff out for you. Don't go look into the skies on your own. It's dangerous.
Yeah. So that's kind of like the difference is we just have a lot more of that old school aspect before it was basically, you know, axed out by the Roman Catholics when they came in to pretty much wipe everybody out.
Is being Christian somewhat normal or is it an outlier in Canada? And the reason behind this question is because my understanding is that like the UK is predominantly atheist and that there's, I don't know if that gets lost when you just transfer over the ocean, like people just become more Christian in North America, or is it a specifically an American thing? Like does any of that strong atheist culture from the UK make its way into Canada, or is it separated from that?
It does. It's almost 50-50. We do have a very strong Christian community and communities, but we also do have a large population of atheists, but we also have a huge population of people from many, many different cultures. And so Canada is kind of a melting pot of all of them. And everyone kind of respects everybody's boundaries in that sense of the way, because we have a huge Sikh community, we have a huge Hindu community, we also have a large Chinese community that's Christian, some that are Buddhist. And then we also have a lot of Ukrainian refugees that came way back that have brought their religion over. And it's Canada's like a really kind of big melting pot, but it's definitely a lot more atheist than the United States.
Are you aware of any like Mexican migrants that are making their way into Canada and causing havoc, or is that more of an American thing?
We have Mexican immigrants, but they're not creating any havoc up here. We haven't had any issues with
just get the polite ones.
Yeah, we get the polite ones because, you know, it's pretty cold up here. It's mentally draining and things like that. A lot of immigrants that have come in the past 3 years have realized that Canada isn't for the weak. And so they've either gone back to originally to their countries or, you know, just kind of learned to integrate with us.
Do you think that there's anyone sneaking into the States from Canada still? Like, is that a big thing, or was that ever a big thing?
You mean like Canadians or the new immigrants that have come here?
I guess either or. I would assume that Canadians are always trying to sneak into America. How could you not? It's like the best place versus the worst place. But are people using it to skip? Because I guess one of the pitch theories is that everyone's paying attention to the southern border in the United States. Even if people can sneak over it, like you've got people out there with drones and it's just like a big issue. But while they're doing that, like, is there anyone paying attention to people slipping over the northern border of Canada? Or is it like, you know, there's such mountain men that we don't care about them because they're not going to take our gerbs?
So there are a lot of Canadians that are fleeing for the United States, but legally. As for illegal immigration to actually cross into the United States, we have a huge part of called no man's land. And you have to go across mountainous muskeg, I mean, mosquito ridden. It's not a walk in the park. Like, I know the southern border, you have a lot of deserts that people have to cross into and rivers like that, but our rivers are pure mountain rivers. So like the temperatures may be +3 degrees Celsius, which is maybe 35 degrees Fahrenheit for you guys. So it's a lot more dangerous, but I haven't heard anybody illegally crossing from Canada into the United States so far.
I'm just thinking out loud, but if we were to install mountain range and lower the temperature of the southern border, that might actually help with the illegal immigration problem.
That would be quite the task, but it would probably definitely help, because so far everyone that's come across illegally has gone to Quebec and they were shuttled in by buses. So
do you or do the Canadians in general have any idea who Ewan Cameron is?
Who Ewan Cameron?
Ewan Cameron, MK Ultra scientist that invented the concept of psychic driving.
No.
Have you ever heard of the Allen Memorial Institute?
I have heard of them, but I have never heard of Ewan Cameron, to be honest.
So, I mean, he's kind of one of the heavy hitters when it comes to, like, if you were collecting the MK Ultra baseball card set that was put out by Topps, Ewan Cameron is one of the MVP cards, I think. And he was a heavy, heavy hitter in the MK Ultra program, specifically into like schizophrenia research, but also into just straight up mind control brainwashing. And I always figured that he would almost be like a national treasure for Canadians. But if you've never even heard of him, then they're just like burying some of their sleeper candidates here. Like, this guy was huge. There's actually a direct to TV movie that was aired in Canada called The Sleep Room that was entirely based on this guy, Ewan Cameron.
Oh, really?
So I'm teaching a Canadian about other Canadians right now. This is surreal.
See, that's insane, because I know they used MK Ultra here in Canada in the 1970s, and Justin Trudeau's dad actually allowed illegal MK Ultra to be done on Canadian citizens, specifically in Montreal and the Ontario region. So we have a huge number of MK Ultra victims that are actually suing the government still till this day, because of all of the experiments that were done unbeknownst to Canadians and against their will.
Changing maybe topics a little bit, but how come you call them First Nation and not Indians?
It is considered inappropriate to call basically First Nations anything but First Nations or Native Canadians.
Can you call them FNs?
What does that mean?
Just First Nation, FN. Like, can you shorten it, or would that still be like looked down upon?
I don't think if it was shortened, it would matter, but I don't think any Canadian would know what you're referring to. So we just say First Nations or Indigenous people of Canada.
If you're talking to your friends and you're like, oh, there's this new guy, he's a First Nation, or like, is that how you would refer to someone? You'd be like, oh, there's this First Nation guy.
I would say there's this Indigenous guy.
Is that specific enough?
Oh, yeah.
So is Indigenous a collective term that could mean the same thing across all the different provinces of Canada, or does it change its meaning between, the West Coast and the East Coast?
Well, there's different tribes of Indigenous people, but collectively, they're either known as First Nations because they were the first here in Canada, or Indigenous. And then they do have their separate tribe names.
Which is the best First Nation tribe and which is the worst?
Oh, that I wouldn't be able to tell you. Or
would that be a hate crime for you to say that in Canada? Would you get thrown in jail for announcing which is the worst?
I honestly probably would be a hate crime, but I honestly would not be able to tell you which is worse or which is best. I just know that that there are different types and that there are different belief systems within each tribe, but that's all I pretty much know.
Okay, you're a little squirmy on that one. We can't quite pin you down on which is the worst of the First Nations, but that's understandable. You don't want to throw any undue shade.
The thing is I wouldn't know because I haven't gone into the specifics of it, so I wouldn't even know where to start on answering that.
Are there reservations the same way that we've got reservations in the States for First Nation peoples, or is that an American concept?
No, we have reservations here as well, except the laws are completely different. I believe the reservations in the United States are more of their own republic, whereas in Canada, they still are under the royal rule, but it is their reservations and their lands, and they can pretty much govern however they see fit for the area.
Do they get to run casinos or anything cool?
Oh, yeah.
Really? So they get the same casino rule that we give ours in the States?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why the hell is that? What is it about casinos that's the thing that you give Indigenous people once you take their land? It's like, now you can run a casino.
See, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if there's laws around gambling that's the same in the States and in Canada, where they're allowed on reservations because they have completely different governing laws. And also with taxes, I believe, and other factors that I haven't really looked into. But I know it has to do something with the legality of it when it comes to the U.S. and Canadian reservations.
One of the other strange Canadians that I've become aware of over the last decade, and I think he's Canadian, Jordan Peterson, right? Wasn't he Canadian?
Yeah. Jordan Peterson, he's Canadian.
And he came onto the scene because he was complaining that he couldn't beat up a trans person in public or something, and he got in trouble because he thought he had the right to do that, or he wanted to misgender them, if you use the wrong phrase. Is that an actual law in Canada? Can you actually get into legal problems by misgendering somebody or dead naming?
Yes. So you can get into actual criminal legal trouble if you misgender somebody in Canada. And I don't think Jordan Peterson would ever get physical with anyone. I think it was just the misgendering of things. Oh, okay. I was like, I don't think he's ever kind of...
No, but just because person. His refusal to use a pronoun has been equated to violence. So I'm just tongue in cheek, but like, yeah, he literally murdered a transgender person in public by not using the right pronoun. But so is there something, I'm not going to make you do it, but is there something that you could actually say on this podcast that would put you in legal harm? Like if you said Jordan Peterson is a woman and I don't care that he proclaims he's a man, I am hereby officially misgendering Jordan Peterson as a woman. Would that potentially get you into legal problems?
Yes. Not potentially.
Say it right now to prove it.
No, I will absolutely not.
You can't even say Jordan Peterson is a woman?
No, I'm definitely not getting to, because we actually have a criminal code that was passed 2 years ago for this.
So I don't want you to get in trouble over this, but before we started recording, Tiana wrote something for me to say on her behalf, and that says that Jordan Peterson is a woman and he's not a man. Does that mean that you might get in trouble now?
No, because I did not write that, and there is absolutely no proof that I wrote that, and there would have to be proof in order to implicate me into something like
that. This sounds kind of scary. This actually sounds like there might be some real fear in getting, like, have there been any landmark cases aside from Jordan Peterson talking about lobsters and stuff and going on like a little book tour? Has this actually been a real issue for people, or is really like
people have lost like $50,000 just for misgendering each other at work?
I mean, that's, it almost sounds like a challenge. Like, if I misgender you at work and I get sued for 50 grand, then I'm just going to try and get you to misgender me. So then I get the 50 grand back, and it's just like a game of shells.
No, that's definitely not how it works in Canada. Our legal system is much different. And if you do not pay, the government will make you pay through jail, and then your paycheck gets deducted to your victim. So it's not
That's what gun rights are for. You guys still got lots of gun rights, right?
No, we have absolutely no gun rights. We lost
those 2 years ago. Oh man, I hate to break this to you, but that's kind of a non-starter. That's kind of a big deal.
No, I know. We tried fighting that, but Justin Trudeau basically put down a huge gun ban, and it will become fully in effect in 2025.
What's the full implications of that? Is it like, you know, you're only allowed to have bolt action revolvers from 1700s or what?
Yeah, pretty much. The amount of stuff that they put on there was so ridiculous that they actually banned Black Rifle Coffee in Canada because they thought it was a type of gun. So Black Rifle Coffee had to sue the Canadian government to allow coffee beans to come into Canada and try and explain to them that their product actually isn't a fire weapon or a weapon, that it's actually a coffee company.
Likely story from those pesky Americans. They're trying to hide guns and everything, including the coffee.
Yeah, and so that's what everybody mocked the Canadian government with. And then they just slapped a bunch of things that made absolutely no sense more into the gun laws.
Does that mean you're basically waiting for the Americans to show up with the guns to like finish whatever you guys start at some point?
To be honest, I don't know if you guys are strong enough to do that. It seems like you have your own issues down there and everything's like,
I'll do 20 push-ups right now. I'll combat that right this second. What do you mean we're not strong enough?
Didn't you tell me that you couldn't live without AC on the last podcast? I think that's pretty weak.
Well, I didn't say I was going to do the push-ups outside of the AC.
Well, that's what I mean. We're pretty cold up here, so you got to toughen up. I mean, Canada isn't for
heater. I said the AC. I just can't take the heat.
We don't even have AC in most of our stores, even if we get like plus 35 degrees, which is like 93 Fahrenheit or something like that, just because it's so cold during the winters.
You don't need an AC unit for a fictional place anyways, so it's kind of a win-win.
There you go.
So what could America do to help Canada fight this? Because I'm just going to assume that somehow Canada might have an in because either you've got a backbone or maybe it's just slightly smaller and you've got more control. Like the truck thing really was incredibly impressive because I couldn't imagine that same thing playing out anywhere in the States and having the same impact, because there would be so many places they could just say, okay, Atlanta's off the ticket for now. We'll subvert it. And they've kind of designed the U.S. around that because there've been so many, you know, succession threats and civil wars. And like, they've kind of figured out, you know, plans A, B, C, and D. But it almost felt like when Canada did that with the trucks, they didn't necessarily have plan B, C, and D lined up already. So if we assume that the next front line is going to be somewhat similar, they shut down the infrastructure Canada, Is there anything Americans can do to help facilitate? Do we send money to the truckers because Canada can't shut our bank accounts down? Would that be helpful? Is there something else we could do?
Oh, that would definitely be helpful. And Americans were actually helping us on the American side of the border because they were shutting the border on the American side. And so that was actually growing the fear. And that's when Justin Trudeau took matters into his own hands, because the Americans were actually about to have their own trucker protest. And your government, actually kind of crapped their pants, because you guys have like weapons and guns and there's way more of you. Like, we're only 38 million people across the entire Canadian country, and we're double the size of you. And so basically with the Americans kind of helping on that side of the border, that kind of tickled Justin Trudeau the wrong way.
He does like being tickled. Is there a wrong way to tickle Justin Trudeau? It almost sounds like a challenge. It sounds like you'd be down for that.
Honestly, as long as you make fun of Justin Trudeau and hit his ego, that's what hurts him the most. Everything else he doesn't even care about.
That's what the meme war is here for, is to hurt people that have fragile egos. So I'm glad to hear that. Maybe we just keep doing that, apply the pressure.
Yeah, if you guys want to apply the pressure on X, where you guys can't get taken off, and just make fun of Justin Trudeau for being like a total nut job and a loser, then that probably would get under his skin way more than anything else.
Maybe we start like Trudeau Tuesdays or something, and we just start a thing that like every day on, or every week on Tuesdays, everyone just shits on Trudeau somehow.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, we've been shitting on him pretty much every day for 2 years on X, and so has the entire country. And I think it's finally getting to him, because there are rumors that he will be stepping down and somebody will be finishing up his term.
But from America, we can misgender Trudeau, which might be extra painful, which is, it's a move that you guys don't have in your belt. So I feel like that's where we need to start putting the pressure on.
If you guys want, go ahead. Honestly, the more people start making fun of Trudeau, especially outside of Canada, he's going to realize that he's kind of a loser and that he should probably step down, because he's never going to redeem himself.
Now, you advocating for Americans to misgender Trudeau, would that be a legal issue for you?
Nope, because it's out of my, and I'm not advocating, I'm just saying that.
Okay, be clear, she's not advocating.
Yeah, I'm just saying it'd be kind of hilarious.
I am, because I'm an American, so I'm allowed to advocate the misgendering of Trudeau. So I'm going to advocate it unrelated to anything that's been going on this particular conversation.
Yep, there you go. If you want to advocate it, I think it's hilarious, and everybody has free will, and you know, they can do as they please.
I mean, we might as well flex that First and Second Amendment if we've got them. While we've got them, might as well flex those muscles.
Exactly. I don't think we have a constitution at all, and our freedom of rights are pretty much just dwindling away by the second.
Okay, well, we're going to wrap this up. We're winding down a little bit. I've got a quick little segment. I'm just going to play the intro, and then I'll explain the rules.
Hey, conspiracy buffs, I double dare you to take some PCP, the Paranormal Conspiracy Probe. On your marks, get set, and go!
Here's the rules. 1 to 10, I'm going to mention a phrase or a statement or a concept, and you're just going to rate it. 1 meaning you don't believe in it at all, and 10 meaning you fully believe in it. And we've already covered some of these, so they'll be easy to start up with. So okay. Bigfoot, 1 to 10.
Let's go with 5.
How about little gray aliens?
7.
Flat Earth?
2.5.
Hollow Earth?
7.5.
Dinosaurs?
I think there were dragons. I'll go with 5.
Well, so dragons, what if we say fire-breathing flying dragons existed at some point in history?
I'll go 8.5.
Human beings set foot on the moon in the last 100 years.
0.
That it's possible for a human being to ever set foot on the moon.
Possible? 9.
Okay, so the moon exists.
Oh, it does, but I don't think it is what we think it is. It might be a satellite.
Hollywood clones, you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, well, we've got the cloning thing here in Canada, so I'm gonna go with 8.
And then I guess on the flat earth you only gave it a 2.5, so I guess pear-shaped earth, anything other than a spherical earth.
Well, actually, it's not spherical.
Well, okay, we'll count the irregular sphere pear-shaped as counting as a sphere.
Oh, okay. Then I'll go with one.
ESP.
Ooh, nine.
Astral projection outside of self-help, like real astral projection.
Nine.
What about magic?
Magic with a C or a K?
Well, let's say the K.
Well, magic is an illusion, so I'd go 8.5.
What about demons? Biblical demons?
8.5.
Angels?
9.5.
The possibility to summon a demon after buying a book on Amazon?
Probably like 1.5.
Really? So I want to dive into that one in particular, because I'm curious on this particular aspect. Like, do you think it's possible to summon a demon at all, you know, through books? And we're not 1-2-10 anymore. You can just answer regularly.
Specific books? Definitely. But those books are hidden in the Vatican in an archives that are very hard to get to. Definitely not the Amazon, like, watered down stuff.
Okay, I appreciate the delineation there. Do you think that if you found one of these Vatican archive, you know, grimoires or something that had the possibility of summoning a demon, and you did like a Rosetta Stone course on Latin or whatever and read it, would that be possible? Or I guess ultimately what I'm getting at is, like, would you have to do something bad or evil, or like sacrifice an animal or a person or something in order to actually summon that demon? Or do you think it's possible for someone pure of heart, or at least innocent or naive or not with malintent, do you think that they could summon a demon?
I don't think anyone with pure of heart with no intent, because everything that is summoned with magic is intent and energy, and it's an energy exchange. And if you don't have the intent in it, there's no way you can do it, even if you knew Latin completely from, you know, beginning to end perfectly, fluently. There has to be ill intent with, and then depending on the demon or the demonology, sacrifices are definitely a thing, and everything has to be lined up astrologically and things like that, depending on the demon, from what of the watered stuff down I've read. So now I can only imagine, like, the grimoires that are, you know, hidden in archives that we can't get our hands to.
And when I asked you about magic and you said C or a K, what does that K mean to you? Does that change the definition of magic somehow?
So every letter has numerological aspects to it. And if you change magic C to a magic K, you actually get a different complete meaning of the word when you put it in to a calculator of what that word means and the energy that it puts out.
Do you refer to gematria in any other aspect of life?
Yeah, so gematria is what I was thinking of, except I pronounce it wrong every time, and then people, like, make fun of me, so I just call it a calculator. But yeah, it definitely changes the meaning if you put it into that calculator, and it will give you completely different aspects of things.
And I guess I'll leave this on a high note, maybe like an inspirational note. I don't know what this is. And I definitely didn't come up with this idea on my own. I heard some other random person say, and it might have been like a WEF quote, who knows, but that, like, never be embarrassed about mispronouncing a word, because all that means is that you learned a new word by reading about it instead of by hearing about it. So anytime someone mispronounces a word and someone else makes fun of them, that's a silly thing to make someone fun of someone over about, because it literally means that they were teaching themselves something that they hadn't read before. So if anything, a person mispronouncing a new word is kind of commendable, because it shows that they have been teaching themselves.
Well, that actually, I love that. That's actually really nice. I'm going to use that from now on.
And use that if you ever mispronounce it and they make fun of you, you're just like, well, that just means that I learned that word on my own reading. Are you making fun of me for reading and educating myself? No.
No, and that actually makes absolute sense. And I love what you said there. And it's very positive. And yeah, I actually learned something new, which is awesome.
Well, great. I mean, I think this was a success. We managed to get through this interview without putting you in too much legal risk. I appreciate you, dodging some of those that I was trying to throw you under the bus. So you're not going to go to jail today. As far You wouldn't have gone to jail anyway, though, because you're a cop and you've got like the special get out of jail card free.
So. Oh, right. Of course. And I also forgot there's a couple of people said I was part of the cabal and still haven't seen a paycheck from them. And I still keep going to work.
Who said that? Where did that come from?
There's a whole group on X who thinks I'm a cabal member and they do the whole face thing. And they said that I'm transitioning from like a man to a woman. There's a whole group of them.
Your dick right now just to prove that you don't have one?
You know what? I'm going to keep the mystery going because they give me views on X and I figure sometimes I engage with them and I'm like, yeah, for sure. That makes sense. I mean, I totally work for the cabal. That's why I live out in the middle of nowhere and work in the oil field because, yeah.
Do they realize they're committing Canadian felonies by implying that to you?
Yeah, I could actually literally sue them for that. But you know what? I just kind of leave it as is because some people are just weird and I just let them talk. So it's like, whatever, it is what it is, right?
So, well, I appreciate you teaching us all about your cabal and your transition process. We wish you the best in it. So yeah, one more time, tell people where they can find you, whatever social media that you haven't been banned from yet.
So I'm Tyana Truthseeker 01011, and you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, X, and TikTok, until TikTok doesn't get banned. And yeah, pretty much Artemis News Media on YouTube.
Is TikTok getting kicked out of Canada too? Is that like a
no, all or nothing deal? That's just you guys. You guys are just getting kicked off. We're totally fine. They're not banning TikTok up here.
So we just use a Canadian VPN and we can still do like nurses dancing.
Yeah, you guys can do Canadian VPN. Just don't misgender anyone or Justin Trudeau will make you go to jail.
Oh, that might be fun though. Use a Canadian VPN, commit Canadian felonies, but you never leave the States. I don't know.
Yeah, and then they can't do anything to you.
Yet. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again for coming on, Tyana. And hopefully we'll have you on again if my audience will allow another Canadian back onto the show. We're going to see what the response is to the first and only Canadian that's ever been knowingly invited onto the show. Someone might have snuck on, but I try to vet everybody before they get on here. So
awesome. I appreciate you being the first. Feedback is. Thank you so much.
American stickers, cryptids, cults, and killers. We got all your favorite conspiracies. And more on our sticker sheets. Paranoid American stickers. They'll make you smile and snicker. False flags and secret societies. All of these and more on our sticker sheets.
Explore the unique with Paranoid American sticker sheets. Unearth tales of cryptids, cults, and mysteries through each sticker. These won't last long. Get yours now at ParanoidAmerican.com.
They're all American stickers. Cryptids, cults, and killers. Killers. We got all your favorite conspiracies. All the data and more on our sticker sheets. Paranoid American stickers. They'll make you smile and snicker. False flags and secret societies. All of these and more on our sticker sheets.
What the heck are you waiting for? Discover the extraordinary with Paranoid American sticker sheets. From cryptids in the night to cults out of sight, each sticker is a unique find. Get yours now at ParanoidAmerican.com.
Paranoid. I scribble my life away, driven to write the page. Will it enlighten your brain? Give you the flight, my plane. Paper, the highs ablaze. Somewhat of an amazing feel when it's real to real. You will engage it. Your favorite, of course, the lord of an arrangement. I gave you the proper results to hit the pavement. If they get emotional hate, maybe your language, a game, how they playing it well without Lakers. Evade them, whatever the cost, they are the shapeshift. Snakes get decapitated, met is the apex. Execution of flame, you out nuclear bomb, distributed at war, rather gruesome for eyes to see. Max them out, then I light my trees. Blow it off in the face, you're despising me for what though? Calculated it, rather cutthroat. Paranoid American must be all the blood smoke for real. Lord, give me a day away, vacate. They wait around to hate whatever they say. Man, it's not in the least bit. We get heavy rotate when the beat hits. So thank us, you're welcome. Fuck the niggas for real, you're welcome. They ain't never had a deal. You're welcome.
Man, they lacking appeal. You're welcome. Yet they doing it still. You're welcome.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.